always a good weekly reminder. Do not forsake His Torah. Amen. Do not forsake His Word. We need to be in His Word every day, every morning, as we spend time in His presence, you know, reading His Word and meditating upon His Word and the promises in His Word. And so let's really take that to heart. Let me just share a few announcements. You know, for the benefit of those who may be visiting with us, we really encourage you to stay after the service and come downstairs. We have what we call an Oneg Shabbat, where we delight in the Sabbath by meeting together around tables, visiting. There's some light refreshments. We nosh together, and so I encourage you to come and just meet some of our Mishpachar family, and we'd love to get to know you as well. And also, let's see. Our Messian calendars are now available. I don't have one in front of me. But these are, you know, for every Messianic believer, you need to have a calendar. It's absolutely essential part of your tools, because you need to know when all the feasts are, the Torah readings, and so forth. So make sure that you pick up a calendar. We have beautiful calendars available in our resource center and at the front desk. And so go in and get one from Shoshana, and so that you're prepared as we begin the fall feast, the whole cycle of feasts. And we begin the fall season with Rosh Hashanah Yom Terah on September the 24th, I believe it is. And so we're going to meet together and have a special time for that. And also be sure to visit our library. There are many excellent books and videos that you can take out. But please remember to return them. Because there's still, you know, Heather gave me a sheet of two pages of books that have not been returned. And so if you have not returned those books, shame on you. You know, and so I encourage you to return those books and so that others can benefit from it. We have an excellent library, you know, and Heather and Marlene do a great job in organizing it and preparing it. And so make sure that you take advantage of the library. And also our midweek studies continue this week. We've taken a break from the book of Revelation because there's not anything prepared as yet. So we're going to be going through a short series on Against All Odds. Some of you may have seen it. It's all the miracles of Israel since they became a nation, and God's supernatural intervention, and how Israel, even though, you know, they've never lost the war since they became a nation, you know, it's mostly because God made a promise to his people. When he brings them back to the land, they'll never be rooted up again. And so we're going to hear some of these miracles that took place. And then just finally, you know, we have the youth are going to be preparing for their youth retreat September 16th through the 18th. And there's going to be this large, you know, giant yard sale. If you want to declutter your home, bring some of your clutter here, and we'll hopefully other people will buy your clutter, you know. And that it'll go towards helping the youth prepare for their special retreat September 16th to 18th. Thank you for everyone who has been generous in giving and sponsoring our youth. We've been getting some good donations, and I hope that you will really invest in our youth, because they really need to understand what their identity is all about. And that's really what the theme of that weekend will be. And so I know that they'll have a great time, you know, and so, you know, just be prepared to look at the back of the update there, and you can see, you know, how to bring your things here. And it'll just be for one day only, on Monday, September the 5th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Okay. Well, I think that's it for the announcements for now. You know, last week I spoke from Isaiah 40, the first of the seven Sabbaths of comfort, that will lead us to the first of the fall feasts, which is Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. And so this morning, I want to speak on the second Sabbath of comfort from Isaiah 49, 14 to 51, verse 13. And I've included in this week's update, I've included a list of all the Sabbaths of comfort that will be read every Sabbath, you know, leading up to Yom Teruah. So I included all the list of all the Sabbaths of comfort just for your information. So I want to begin with the words that were already read in part by Jennifer as she read the Torah portion. And this is how the second Sabbath of comfort begins. Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast? and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. You know, from a messianic perspective, this clearly is referring to the Messiah. You know, the words, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands, is too obvious to understand any other way. Because the Messiah's hands were pierced through for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was beaten and scourged so that we would be made whole. And by his stripes, we have been healed. You know, Israel has felt the Lord has forsaken and forgotten them because of all the suffering and the tragedies that they have had to endure throughout history. And there has been many. And there's no question that Israel has suffered more than any other nation on planet Earth. But God chose Israel for a very important purpose. But in God's promise is that he will never forget the covenant he made to Abraham and his descendants. And the Torah reading that I read today confirms this promise. Know therefore the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. If a generation is considered 40 years, then 1,000 generations is 40,000 years. If a generation is 70 years, then that 70,000 years that Adonai declared, I will keep my covenant promise. You know, Numbers 23, verse 19 tells us, God is not a man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Psalms 110, verse 4 says, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. See, we serve a God that is 100% trustworthy. He always keeps his word. He always keeps his promises, regardless of whether we are obedient or not. You know, the blessing that he wants to give to us can be delayed because of our disobedience, but God will still fulfill his promise. And for us as believers, God can cause all things to work together for our good. And sometimes we have to go through times of suffering and testing to bring us to that place of obedience so that God can bless us. The Lord promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you even until the end of the age. We're coming to the end of the age. And God promises he will be faithful to us. So this week's Sabbath of Comfort is filled with words of comfort. And let me read a part of the Sabbath of Comfort, Isaiah 51, verses 1 to 3, if you want to follow along. This Isaiah 51, 1 to 3. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Just want to mention, I hope that everyone does, but when everyone does come to Shabbat service, you should always bring your Bible. You know, don't leave home without it. You know, always bring the Word of God with you. But it says, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut, and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was only one man. And I blessed him and made him many. The Lord promised Abraham that he would make his descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand by the seashore. And he has done that very thing that he promised. The Lord said, I will surely comfort Zion, and will look with compassion on all of her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. You know, God is fulfilling his promise today. He is bringing his people back to the land from the four corners of the earth. And of the approximately 15 million Jewish people in the world today, almost half of them now live in Israel. That's quite amazing. In just 74 years since Israel became a nation in 1948, she has grown to over 7 million Jewish people living now in Israel. In a small piece of land, squeezed into a small piece of land. In fact, the prophet Isaiah even spoke of this. He says in Isaiah 49:19-20, even the most desolate parts of your abandoned land will soon be crowded with your people. Your enemies who enslaved you will be far away. The generations born in exile will return and they will say, we need more room. It's crowded here. And that's exactly what it's like in Israel. It's so crowded in Israel. Israel needs more land to sustain their growth as a nation. And one day, all the land promised to them will be restored. But unfortunately, the Palestinians are trying to steal the land promised to Israel by covenant. And many of the Arab countries are ganging up on Israel. Imagine there are 27 Arab states in the Middle East. They occupy 99% of all Middle East land. There's only one Jewish state that occupies one half of 1% of the land. And for many Arab countries, that's too much. It's hard to believe that there's so much controversy over a small piece of real estate. It's only about the size of, we often hear New Jersey or El Salvador, but Vancouver Island. It's about the same size as Vancouver Island. We can kind of more relate to that than New Jersey or El Salvador or Vancouver Island. That's about the size of Israel today. You know, Israel is a mystery, an enigma, as to why there's no logical reason why many of the nations hate Israel so much. And it's the only nation in the world that is set apart for annihilation. No other nation in the world. Because we know that we're involved in a spiritual battle today against the powers of darkness. And that's the only way that we can explain. We can't explain it logically, but we can explain it spiritually. Because we're involved in a spiritual battle against the powers of darkness. And the powers of darkness know very well how important Israel is in God's end time purposes, because everything's going to end in Israel. We know the Jewish community will be reading these seven Sabbaths of comfort every Shabbat for the next 7 weeks. There are also four servant songs found in the midst of these seven Sabbaths of comfort. And even though these servant songs are recognized by Judaism as speaking of Israel, which they are, they also are prophecies of the Messiah as a suffering servant of God. I've included also on your update, I've also included the four servant songs, just for your information. But the four servant songs describe, you know, the Messiah, the service, the suffering, the exaltation of the servant of the Lord. And all four servant songs show the Messiah to be God's meek and gentle servant. He is a royal figure representing Israel. He is a high priest among atoning for the sins of Israel and the nations. And Israel prophesied that the servant of the Lord will deliver the world from the prison of sin and death. And so this week's Sabbath of comfort includes one of these servant songs. Isaiah 50 verses 4 through 11 is one of the servant songs, and I want to focus on that in my message today. It's only found in this one Sabbath of comfort of all the seven. The only servant song is found in this particular Sabbath of comfort, and so I really felt it was important that I speak on this because I really want to speak about Messiah, the true servant of the Lord, and I believe it has an important message for us. So let me read part of it. In chapter 50, verses 5 through 7, if you want to follow along, Isaiah 50, 5 through 7. And tell me who you think it's speaking about here. Adonai Elohim has opened my ear, and I neither rebelled nor turned away. I offered my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting, for Adonai Elohim will help. This is why no insult can wound me. This is why I have set my face like flint, knowing that I will not be put to shame. Those with spiritual ears and understand, we know who's that speaking about, right? Because we know that all the Gospels record and give reference to how Yeshua was treated. And one part of this prophecy in Isaiah 40 that I will set my face like flint is mentioned in Luke 9:51. And so part of this messianic prophecy is mentioned by Luke in 9:51. It says, when the days were coming, to a close for him to be taken up, he set his face like flint to journey to Jerusalem. When the days were coming to a close for him to be taken up, he set his face like flint to journey to Jerusalem. It was the Father's will for his Son to suffer and die for the sins of mankind. Yeshua knew this, and he was determined to go to Jerusalem because it was for this very reason that he came into the world, to lay down his life. And Yeshua knew that by going to Jerusalem on this particular time during the Passover, it was going to cost him his very life. He knew that it was going to be painful, that he would be despised, that he would be rejected, that he would be insulted, and he would suffer an agonizing death. And yet he followed the path marked out for him towards Jerusalem. Yeshua set his face like flint to achieve the purpose he came into this world. He was determined, because that was the very reason why he was born, the very reason why he came to this earth. And he regarded all the suffering he would experience worthwhile when he considered what it would lead to, the salvation of mankind. You see, the Messiah was a suffering servant who came into the world to save this, to save the world. And so Isaiah also identifies God's servant as Israel. And so even though there's a messianic theme as part of these servant songs, there's also a recognition that Israel is also a suffering servant, because Israel has suffered more than any other nation on earth. So this is mentioned a number of times in Isaiah about Israel being the servant of God, and I think that's important. I'm going to just give us some explanation as to why. First one is found in Isaiah 41, verses 8 through 10. Isaiah 41, 8 through 10. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, your descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners. I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then Isaiah 43, verse 10, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. See, Israel was chosen to bring the truth to the world that there's only one God and creator of heaven and earth, monotheism. Israel was one nation that proclaimed monotheism. All the other nations were into polytheism, worship many gods. So God wanted to demonstrate and use Israel as a nation to demonstrate that there's no other God and creator of heaven and earth. And then thirdly, Isaiah 44, 1 and 2. But now listen, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. This is why the Lord says, he who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, whom I have chosen. So there's no question that Israel was called to be a servant nation. And this is one of her purposes, to be a kingdom of priests, to be a holy nation. She was called to be a light and a servant to the nations. And yet we know that Israel failed in part to fulfill her purpose and calling because of her disobedience. The Torah portion I read today is impressing upon Israel the importance of obedience. And it tells us in Deuteronomy 7, 11 to 12, the portion I read today, it said, therefore take care to follow the commands, the decrees and laws I give you today. If you pay attention to these laws and careful to follow them, then Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. That was God's promise if Israel would only obey. Because Israel failed to fulfill her destiny, and God knew that they would, His plan was to raise up another servant within this nation who would demonstrate the true heart of a servant, the true nature of a servant. And ultimately, redemption for Israel and the nations must come from the true servant of God. Israel could not redeem the nations. God chose one. He chose the Messiah to be part of the nation of Israel, to be the one to bring redemption to the world. And it tells us in Isaiah 52, which is one of the servant songs, that he will accomplish what the servant nation could not do, because Israel could not do what Messiah did. And it tells us in Isaiah 52, verses 13 to 15, which is in the context of Isaiah 53. So you need to read Isaiah 53 in the context of Isaiah 52, 13 to 15. But it tells us, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted." Now this, you know, many Jewish people will think that this is referring to Israel. And even Isaiah 53 is speaking of Israel. But of course, by reading the context of it grammatically and historically, it just doesn't make sense that it's speaking about Israel as a nation. "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted, just as there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand." Very clearly speaking about the Messiah. The Messiah came into this world not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Israel was chosen, as I said, to be a kingdom of priests, a light, and to be a servant to the nations, to demonstrate to the world who God is, what God is like, the nature of God, God's plan, and his purpose. And sadly, because of her disobedience, she has, in fact, no more suffering than any other people. They've been rejected by other nations. No other nation in history, as I said, has endured as much suffering as Israel has. And that's why they kind of somehow think that Isaiah 53 is speaking about Israel, the suffering, because they indeed are suffering people. But it's speaking here of specific Messiah, Ben Joseph, a suffering Messiah. And it says that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So Israel was destined to suffer. The big question is, why does Israel have to suffer so much? One reason is that Israel's suffering was intended to serve as a prophetic picture of how Messiah, the servant of God, was chosen also to suffer and die in order to redeem Israel and the nations. Hebrews 2 tells us, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted and who has suffered in all things as we did, and yet without sin." Yeshua knows the suffering of his people, and he can identify with the suffering and all the suffering Israel has experienced, because he's experienced more suffering than any other human being or nation. Yeshua was brutalized, he was humiliated, he was despised, he was betrayed, he was rejected by the very people he came to save. He felt the anguish of pain and cruelty of those who rejected him. He not only felt the pain from being scourged, beaten, and crucified, but he also was bearing the sins of the whole world. And it's interesting that this comfort, Sabbath of comfort, begins with, "Lord has forsaken me." The very same words that Yeshua spoke when he died, when he felt told separation from God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Isaiah 53 describes the suffering of serving of the Messiah. And it says in Isaiah 53, it says, "The suffering servant was a man of sorrows and familiar with grief. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and rejected by men, and we did not esteem him. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions, was crushed for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. See, Yeshua was the ultimate servant who came to set an example for us to follow. And I believe there's a valuable lesson in this portion of Scripture that we can learn from the servant song. See, Israel was called to be a servant nation. She failed in part by not recognizing the Messiah. But this has not stopped her from being a blessing to the world. Serving is part of her DNA. Serving is part of Israel's DNA. Israel is fulfilling, in part, her role as a servant. And since becoming a nation in 1948, just 74 years ago, they have become a tremendous blessing to the world. Even though Israel is one of the smallest nations in the world, she's making a big difference. By ratio of population, Jewish peoples represent 0.5% of the entire world's population. There are approximately 15 million Jewish people in the world today, compared to 8 billion Gentiles. And yet she has contributed more to the world in the area of science and health and technology and military knowledge and agriculture and search and rescue more than any other nation in the world. She's won more Nobel Peace Prizes by ratio of population than any other people in history. They are often the first nation to come to the aid of another nation in times of natural disaster. So Israel, in many ways, is still serving the world. They're still being a light and a witness to the nations, even though not in the context of a spiritual witness, but in the context of being a blessing to the world in so many other areas. It's that in times of war, you know, with the Palestinians, Israel is the only nation in the world that makes every effort to protect innocent civilians by dropping leaflets in their homes, by making phone calls, by warning residents to flee before they attack. No other nation will do that. And yet the media tries to paint Israel as being the aggressor. And yet Israel is constantly being criticized and hated by the nations. And as I said earlier, of the 200 nations plus in the world, Israel is the only nation that has been singled out for annihilation. And yet, what has Israel done to deserve this? We know, as I said, that it cannot be explained logically. It can only be explained spiritually, that we were involved in a spiritual battle against the powers of darkness. But having said all this, what can we learn from all this for ourselves personally? From the nation of Israel was birthed the greatest servant who ever lived. Yeshua Messiah did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. It tells us in 1 Peter 2:21 that Yeshua left us an example that we should follow in his steps. If we've been called to know the Messiah and be like him, then we've been called to follow his example by being a servant. We've been called to serve. You know, if you can just imagine the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of the universe, stepping out of heaven, emptying himself of his divine glory, clothing himself with humanity, making himself of no reputation, took on the form of a bondservant, came in likeness of man, and humbled himself, suffered and became obedient to the point of death. And he did all that because of his unconditional love for us. Yeshua had a mission to perform. As Yeshua hung on the tree, before he died, he said, "It is finished. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." You know, as believers, we've been grafted into the rich root of the olive tree of Israel. We have received the dwelling and empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. The very presence of the Messiah, the servant of servants, dwells in us. We were created in God's image and likeness. So shouldn't the heart to serve be part of our spiritual DNA? Shouldn't that be what we are called to do, to be like our Master, to serve as He served and gave His life in ransom for many? We've not been called to the kingdom of God to be waited upon, to be spoon-fed and served. We've been called to serve and to give our lives in service to others. We've not been called to sit on the pews and just warm up the pews every Shabbat. God has a plan and purpose for us. We're put on the earth to make a difference. We are created to add life to this world, not take it away. God wants us to give something back. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that we might have life. Then we too have a responsibility to give our own life as service to Him, so that others may have life and life abundantly. To be part of God's kingdom means that we have a place, that we have a responsibility. We have a function, we have a purpose to fulfill, to give our lives in service to others. Adam I placed an immeasurable price for you and for me by giving His own life. And when we serve God, it gives us meaning, it gives us purpose, it gives us significance. It says, no greater love has one than He lays down His life for one another. And He did not do this because we were worthy of His grace, but because of His unconditional love for us. This is why we should serve Adonai out of joy, gratefulness, and gratitude for all He has done for us. I shared before that when I first became a believer, I was so filled with such love and gratitude for what I had experienced. And really, God really changed my life and transformed my life, that I chose to give my very life to Him in service. And that's why it's kind of interesting that, as I shared before, my birth parasha is Ba'ikra, which means that He called. And God called me. And the first five chapters of my portrait is about all the Levitical offerings. It's like, I've given my life as a living offering to You. And I've been sought to be faithful all these years. And God is wanting to use each one of us to serve. If a believer has no desire to serve and is only concerned about their own personal needs, then you need to question their spiritual maturity. One who is a child of God should have a heart to serve. It's part of our new nature. In the scriptures, the words servant and minister are synonymous. Just as service and ministry, we are called to minister when we serve. And so when we're serving, we're ministering the needs of others. In 1 Peter 3:10, it says, as each one of you has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone teaches, let him teach as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do as it is with the ability which God supplies, that all things God may be glorified. That's why it's so important to be part of a congregational family, a mishpacha, to be part of the community, because that's where we have opportunity to serve and to exercise the gifts that God has given to us, the talents that God has given to us. That's how we grow, when we are committed to a body of believers, a community of believers, where we can all contribute, we can all work together to build up the body. There's a scripture in Romans 12, I'm just kind of coming to an end here, but I want to just kind of end with a challenge to each one of us. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, just first verse. I urge you, brothers, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we are to offer ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice before God. And then he gets into some practical things in verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Messiah, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. It is showing mercy. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And I was thinking that there are many opportunities for us to serve, and many of our people are not here today to hear this message. You know, and but for those who are here, I really want to encourage you. You know, there's so many different ways that we can serve in this community. I mean, beginning with pre-service prayer. I mean, how many of us actually come for pre-service prayer? If we really want to see God's Spirit move, we want to see revival. If we want to see God's presence in a real way, then it involves prayer. It means, you know, sacrificing some of our time on Saturday morning, coming a little bit earlier and spending some time in prayer. And we have an Oneg ministry, you know, where there's many opportunities for us to help in the Oneg ministry. You know, and Rowena is in charge of the Oneg ministry, but she needs helpers to help her. These are practical ways we can serve. Greeting. You know that, you know, when people first come into a congregation of visitors, they form their impression of a congregation in the first 5 minutes. And I've been, as I've said this before many times, I would go into a congregation when I was a young believer and no one would even know that I was there. I would come in, I would go out. You know, we want people to feel welcome when they come to Beth Shekinah, and that's a very important ministry is our ushering, our greeting people as they come in, so they feel welcome, they feel accepted. And that's a very important ministry. Outreach ministry. Last night we heard a message by Irene about challenging us in the area of outreach, and we really want to be a lot more diligent in that area. The Shabbat school ministry, the worship, visitation. There are many people in the hospital. I know there's some people who have been visiting members in our congregation who have been sick, and that's really wonderful, and we need to really continue to do that. In the area of tech ministry, you know, that Michael and the team really need people to help. So there's so many different areas of ministry. If we're not involved in anything, then we need to really evaluate our hearts. And I know that, you know, if you have a heart to serve, just come and let us know whether you want to serve. My vision is to begin home groups in the coming year. And so we will be sharing more about that. But we've all been called to serve. That's the bottom line. You know, Israel was a servant that God chose as a nation. Yeshua was a servant. He came to seek and to serve those who were lost. And we're to follow his example and be a servant. So I really would challenge us, you know, to get up. Because I really sense there's a spirit of complacency and apathy today. And I've seen it even in our own congregation. You know, there's an apathy, complacency, just kind of a, you know, an indifference. We need to really get our act together. And we get closer to the fall season, we're going to be challenged that much more about getting our hearts right before God. Because when all is said and done, you know, let me just end with these couple of verses. Will the Lord say to us when our life on earth is done, will we hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of my kingdom. We want to hear those words by our master. Well done, the good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Yeshua said, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master will make ruler over his household? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. So that's kind of that's a challenge I want to leave with you today. You know, that we need to realize that we are being called to serve. And when the Lord comes, will he find us as faithful and wise servants? Will you be able to say, I have finished the work which I have been given to do? Will we find us doing the work of our master when he comes? And so that's a challenge for us. So, Father, we just thank you, God, that, you know, there's so much in this message today that can challenge us. Lord, thank you that Israel indeed has been a servant nation. They still are a servant nation today. They're still giving so much of themselves to others, even though as a nation, they have not recognized who the Messiah is. Lord, we know that you are preparing Israel for that day when they will open their eyes and they will see Yeshua for who he really is. Thank you, Lord, that Messiah is the suffering servant who came to this world to seek and save those who are lost. And Lord, you've also called us to be servants, to follow his example. Lord, that should be part of our new nature. We should want to love to serve. To serve you, Father, because when we serve, we're serving you. We're not serving to be noticed by men. We're serving because we love you, because you've done so much for us. As an expression of our gratitude for how you have saved us, redeemed us, you've promised to give us eternal life. There's a rich inheritance waiting for us. So, Lord God, help us to be thankful for everything you've done. And we do that as a means of showing our servant heart and serving others and serving this community, serving this congregation, so we can truly become a house of glory where your name will be lifted up and we will see many come to salvation. And Lord, we thank you, God, for what you're doing in each one of our hearts. Lord, just stir us up, wake us up, shake us out of our apathy or complacency, and help us, God, to really be fervent and zealous to do good works. And we just thank you, God, for what you're doing in each one of our lives. Lord, we pray that we would not just hear this word, it would not just go in one ear and out the other. Lord, that we would not be a people who are dull in understanding. But we'd be a people who would be discerning and alert and awake and realizing that we're living in these last days. There's no time for us to be sluggish and lukewarm, Father. We need to be zealous for you. So, God, do a deep work in each one of our hearts, we pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together as we have a closing song and bring our hearts before the Lord. And we just would invite anyone here that would like to have prayer. If you really have a heart to serve, just I encourage you to come forward as an act of faith and say, yes, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to give my life so that my life can make a difference. Just come as Lord leads and speaks to your heart. Show his name. Praise you.